We're going to look at Joshua chapter 3 and 4. And I'm not going to read it all, and I'm not going to have scripture up there, because I'm assuming you all have Bibles. If you don't have this one, you have a phone that has multiple Bibles on it. So I'm never, see, when I see you on your iPads like this, I don't think you're playing Candy Crush. I actually believe you're reading the Bible along with things, or, you know, hey, I'm going to look this up. So I'm just going to give you that. All the guys are like, sweet, Candy Crush it is. We're going to look at Joshua and how Joshua takes people of Israel across the Jordan. Moses did this. Joshua is going to do it. This is the second time. They knew they were going to come up against some struggles, and Joshua was put in place to lead them. God handpicked him. It's an interesting story about leadership and about, it's got a whole bunch of stuff in there, packed in there about leadership, about being that responsible leader. And this applies to women, this applies to men, this applies to, you know, young people, old people, everybody in between. Okay, it applies to everyone, but I'm focusing a little bit on fathers, but I also want to let you know that you're included in this. If you're not a father, it's for everyone. It's every Christian believer, no matter who you are. And so he takes them. There's one scripture in here I just wanted to point out real quickly, because I think sometimes we lose focus. The Lord said to Joshua, this is chapter 3 of Joshua, verse 7, says, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." What I want to focus on that particular scripture before we get into anything is that he says, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all of Israel." Most people go with that, go, oh, yeah, power, authority, leadership. But he says this other thing that a lot of people just skip over. He says, "So that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." I'm not exalting you so that you can be lifted up. I'm exalting you so that I will be lifted up. We have to have that focus on everything we do. And that's difficult because we think we deserve things and we think we should be a certain way, and it's about us. It's called our ego, right? Our ego. In the Greek, ego is I, me. It's all about me. That's what it focuses on, ego. And we pronounce it that way, ego. I want you to think about this as we go through our scripture. "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know that I am with you as I was." Remember that with Moses. In Joshua's case, being a leader and in any leadership position, it can be very terrifying. It can feel overwhelming. Each Christian, however, no matter their status in life, every Christian is called to be a spiritual leader. In the lives of the next generation, we are all called to be an example. You hear about mentorship, you hear about all that kind of stuff. We are called. And people are taking this to mainstream media. They're taking this and making big money on mentoring and coaching and all that. Well, this was a biblical concept way before all these fancy pants guys got up there and started talking about power and all that kind of stuff, personal energy and all that kind of jazz. And so I believe that each father, each mother, each grandparent, each teenager, and every child carry a responsibility to lead the next generation into spiritual growth. It's very clear throughout Scripture. I'm going to show you a few things in this body of Scripture that talks about it. If we recognize that everyone here is a leader to the next generation, you now have no excuse. You now have no excuse to be or not to not be a leader. You have to be. You have to be an example. So what kind of difference do you make right now? In your workplace, in your home, at your school, in your church? Would people say that you are a positive influence or a bad influence? We all know the bad influencers. And if you passed away today, what would people say about you tomorrow? Well, that's the grumpy old guy that lives down the street. Comes out of his house and, "Get off my lawn, kids." Would anyone miss him? Your neighbors. How do you want to be known? And it's not that we're worried about what people will say about us tomorrow. It's if they say things that are negative, it looks bad on God, because then we say we're a Christian. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where somebody has told you, well, I used to go to church, but, you know, they were excluding me, or they treated me poorly, or whatever. And now every situation is different. Or somebody will say, I've heard this a lot, where they'll say, well, that person over there is a Christian, and I don't deal with them. And I'm like, well, why is that? And I'm like, well, they say one thing and do another. And you all heard that, and you're like, ah, you know, nobody's perfect. And I always go, well, benefit of the doubt, cut some people some slack. But at the same time, is it because of their beliefs that they don't like the other person, or is it because they truly were a bad influence or a bad example of what they said they were supposed to be? You can't say you do or don't do something and then do the opposite, right? You can't do that. And say, oh, I'm a Christian, so it's okay. We got to think this through a little better when we're acting out our daily lives. When it comes to our example, we want to leave a good one. We want to be a positive one. So when someone would stand up and talk about you, we can always find something good, but would it emulate Jesus? Would it emulate what God has asked us to be? This principle of making a difference rises out of these two chapters where the children of Israel have just come out of this second Exodus. They've spent time wandering in the desert again aimlessly, but during that time, God provided for them. He took care of them. They were sustained by Him. But God's intentions were not for them to live in the desert. They were there because of a lack of faith, and that's back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. And so God had plans for them, and they weren't meant to stay there and feed off these small blessings that God was giving. God was doing a great thing, and He was providing for them and taking care of them, but that's not what they were meant to be. It kind of comes back on us. God is still with you when you are not necessarily paying attention to Him. And He can still take care of you, and He still does take care of you when you're not really listening to Him. You're wandering through the desert like the Israelites, wandering around aimlessly, but God's still providing. He's mad at you, but He's still providing. A father disciplines, a good father disciplines their children, but still cares for them and loves them. You can't just do whatever you want. There has to be boundaries, and there has to be rules. And so God said, look, you're going in the desert again because you don't listen. So they weren't meant to stay there. God had a bigger plan for them. He had the land of Canaan, which in Scripture says it was flowing with milk and honey, meaning it was rich with resources, and God had that planned for them. They knew they were going to face some barriers, some obstacles, some difficulties. The Israelites knew that while they were going to go into the land of Canaan. They were going to have to fight some pretty big battles, and they were going to have to trust in God. There were going to be giants in the land, it says. And we look at giants in our time as problems, struggles, difficulties. But they were going to face really big people. And I think to many of their, I think they would be, can you imagine walking up to God saying, okay, God, everybody, Joshua, take them through this river. And it's a deep river. They got to get past it to get to this land. So here's their first difficulty, their very first difficulty. In our life, we come up against difficulties. Have you ever been standing by a body of water and asked God to move it and separate it apart for you? Well, that's what's happening here. Now, the great thing about them is that some of them had seen it. Some of them had seen it before and knew of it. So they had a little bit of an edge on us. So I don't know, I've stood in front of the Fraser River a few times and went, come on. Nope, I must have the wrong driftwood. I don't know what's happening. So these difficulties, they're huge. So can you imagine standing there, and can you imagine Joshua walking up, going, okay, this is what God said. He said, as soon as I send the priests, when their feet hit the water, it's going to pull back, not split, pull back. It stopped flowing and just went dry. If I was Joshua and God told me that, I don't know if anyone here would believe me. Joshua says, send the priests. So the priests take the ark, keep everyone back, keep them way back, send the ark, and when their sandals hit that water, that it'll pull back. If I was Joshua watching this, I would be going, okay, God, you're going to make me look real bad or real good here. So we need to be in tune here real, real good. And the priests hit the water, and it starts to pull back. Can you imagine Joshua going, yes, it's working. He told me he'd do it, and he's doing it. And then all the Israelites have to follow. And then he said, you know, there's some other things in there he told them to do. He said, pick 12 people from the 12 tribes and get them to bring a boulder. Not just pick up a pebble. Bring a boulder, a big rock. They say rocks, but rocks. And bring it up on shore. And everybody's kind of like, rocks, all right. I can imagine standing there as an Israelite going, you want me to drag a rock from the river? Why? Well, we'll tell you in a minute. Get the rock. So they all go through. So not only has the water spread, I'm excited, the water spread, but then Joshua tells me and Israel to grab a rock. Okay, I guess I'm going to believe you because the water's falling back. So I'm going to go with it, pick up the rock, and we take it. And then he says, and when everybody's through, send the priests through. So the priests go through, everybody goes through, and the priests come out. And as soon as their feet leave, boom, water's back. They crossed. It's amazing. It's an amazing story of people doing things they didn't understand. And then what happens is, he says, take those rocks and build a monument, a remembrance, so that when you come here with your family, your children, they will say, what are those rocks for? And they will say, this is when God led us through this body of water and took us out of exile as a remembrance. So they're passing down what God has done for them. This is huge. The way an Israelite would be standing there in awe of all of this, it's not just like, yeah, just cruising along, just going for a walk. Yeah, let's bring all the, you know, the donkeys and the cattle and everything. Come on, here we go. This would be amazing. This would be an incredible feat that God has done for them. We look at things nowadays that God does that's incredible, and it just seems kind of normal. It seems kind of eh. The very breath that we take is incredible. The fact that our body that God created breathes just on its own is unbelievable. The fact that the earth is spinning in an orbit, tilted in exactly the right spot, is incredible. The chances of that are incredible. They're trying to live on other planets. Man wants to go live on Mars. Well, you know what? If you want to go, have fun. But walk out on Mars and breathe in, because you'll be dead. It won't work. You're not supposed to live there. You're supposed to live here. People say, well, that's okay, technology. Yeah, that's fine. My point is, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Doesn't mean they can't do it. Doesn't mean it won't happen. And that's a great feat that they, but that wasn't created for that. God created Earth for that. So we should take care of this planet, take care of here. Instead of saying, well, we're messing this one up, let's go screw up another one. Seems to be what it is. I always thought, why don't we just take all our garbage and shoot it at Mars? But whatever, hey, I don't know. Shoot it at the moon, shoot it at the sun, figure it out, it'll happen. Israel gets through. And God gave that really strange command to pick up those 12 stones in verse 2. And he told them to set it up in their first place of encampment when he says it in chapter 4, verse 20. So that when the next generation came, they'll ask, what are these stones for? And you will tell them that what God did. This principle stands true today. It doesn't matter your social or economic standing here on earth. God has called you, God has called every believer to be in a place of leadership, to be in a place of example and good example, his holy word example. back to our original question, what kind of difference are you making? What kind of impact are you making while you are still here breathing God's air? What kind of impact? Today is Father's Day. It's a time that we need to look at as dads and go, what kind of difference are we making? What kind of difference are we making in our home? Could it be that instead of proclaiming the truth of God and pointing to those stones of remembrance that what God has done for us, you are pointing to academics, you are pointing to entertainment, or you're pointing to athletics, sports? What is it? Now, all those things are fine and good in their place, but are we passing on the word of God? Let us never forget to leave our children the most important reality of this life, and that's Scripture. We forget that Scripture is real. And sometimes we just look at it as an old book that a bunch of old, long gone people wrote and put together, and then a bunch of old dudes with funny hats sat in a room at the Jerusalem Council and put it all together and said, hey, this sounds good. Let's throw this Bible out there and let's control the universe and the world. That's not what happened. They were trying to keep something that happened from disappearing. Like those stones, we have this. We have Scripture. We have God's Word. We can go back to it. We can look at what God has done and what God says and what He's doing in the lives of these people and what He can do in ours. But if we start to hack everything apart and make it all, it's been debated. The people who wrote these are proven people. They've been there. It's history. It just takes one person. Man, if you listen to the news anytime and they say something, let's use an example. A certain president of a certain country, pick one, might tweet something. I don't know who that might be, but he might tweet something out. Any president, lots of them do it. They bicker back and forth on Twitter. It's very cool right now. And they say one thing, correct or incorrect. It's law now. It's true. Because that person said it. Other people start throwing stones at it saying, no, that's not true. Everyone else goes, you know what? I like the way that sounds, so that must be true. And then they believe it is truth. This has been true for so long, and people throw rocks at it constantly saying, oh, it's not true, it's not true. It's been proven. It's like up is up and down is down. This is it. It's done. These people wrote it. There's nothing to debate. You may not like everything in it. And that's the thing about what truth is. You may not like the truth. You may not like hearing the truth. You may not think that it's okay. But truth is truth. We can say, I don't like what this says in some spots. You have the freedom to do that. Christ has given you the freedom. But it doesn't stop it from being true. Correct? You don't have to agree with me. See, that's how it works. You don't have to agree. But it doesn't stop it from being right, and it doesn't stop it from being true. So whatever you choose, the freedom that God has given you, choose it. Decide it. But don't say that something that is true is not true when it is. And that's where we have an issue. Today, well, I don't like the way that sounds. Wah, it's too bad. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It's the way it is. And so we need to recognize that. Recognize that just because somebody says it, and it's the same with me, doesn't mean it's not true. So God has left us this Scripture. The stones that they built were so people could look back and say, what is this for? Well, this is what happened when God took us through the Jordan and into the Promised Land. Well, people, this is a Bible. What is that for? It's to hear what God has said about Himself. It's what He said about Himself. You choose to recognize it or not recognize it. That's up to you. As parents, we need to recognize, are we building up other things? or are we putting the word of God in our children's lives? Now, that doesn't mean it's going to stick. It doesn't mean that. You could have a kid you raise in this, and maybe they don't go for it. Maybe they don't love it right now, but God is bigger than that. I have to believe that he's going to take care of your son, your daughter, that he's going to speak into their lives. Because why? Because you pray for them. Why? Because the scripture that God inspired, his word, says pray for them. I have to believe it because it's happened and I've seen it happen. The truth, are we leaving this for them or are we putting other things important? It's funny, I remember when I was a youth pastor, people used to say to me, I'm sorry that, you know, little Johnny isn't going to youth today or the whole month, but he's grounded. I'm like, oh, why? Well, they would tell me why. List excuses. Doesn't even matter. I mean, unless this child has murdered someone, there's really no reason. But anyways, that's a whole other story. I said, why are you punishing them from church? Send them to youth group. They can go to that. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. We don't ground our kid. Now, your choice. Do it or don't do it. My thing as a youth pastor was don't punish them from the place where they only get a few days out of the week. They're at school six or more, depending. I don't know how many times they go to school anymore, but they five, what is it? I don't know. I was thinking of my days in, I don't know, in some communist country that I lived in. So, how many days in a week are there? Anyways, the point is, they go to school more than they stay at home, so send them to youth. Don't punish them. Punish them. I would say keep them out of school. Ground them from school. Try that one. I don't know what you want to do with that. Figure that one out. You talk amongst yourself, make a decision. I don't know. We need to focus on the important things, and that's God's word, a relationship with God. That's really what it is. And hopefully it sticks. Hopefully it sticks with all the choices and all the nattering. And like I say, somebody tweets something or does a video, a YouTube or whatever. All of a sudden now everybody believes that this is accurate and true. Check your sources, please, before you think something is true. And young people have this just pepper sprayed at them. That's how they think. And so they see so much. How do you sift out what's true and what's false? How? I don't know how. Wait a minute. Yeah, I do. Right here. The word of God. It's right here. His character. And so as we lead our families, as we lead our homes, our jobs, and our personal lives, may each of us remember to take daily faithful steps and lead to living a legacy that puts God first. That puts God first. The children of God were able to cross the Jordan, but only because they listened to God's word, only because they listened to God. Joshua had a direct line. We have that line. We have that word. Go to it when you need direction. And I bet you anything, that did not make sense, crossing the Jordan. And I bet you there were people there that said, hey, you know what? This doesn't sound like it's going to work. Have you ever been in a church like that? I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's going to happen. It's not going to go well. So standing there picking it apart isn't helping anybody, so why don't you jump in and make it work? But God said, I don't really care about the people who are nattering. I don't care what their words are. I have a bigger plan. And if the majority is going through and you start walking, when you take a step forward, guess what? That's a step of faith. So even the ones that complain, we're like, well, I guess we're going. And they started walking. And they needed a little pull from the other ones that had a little bit more faith. Kind of sounds like church, right? People who have more faith were like, okay, I'm counting on you because you got the faith and I like it. I'm kind of there, so I'm going to follow and make, you know, whew, this is scary, but we're going to do it. each of us should be challenged today in leaving that legacy, that biblical legacy, with the generation that's behind us. So it doesn't matter what your age, whether you're a teenager or older, you need to be an example to others and leave that legacy. What do others see in you? A single adult, what do they see in you? What do teenagers look up to you about? Married, not married, whatever it is, what do they see in you? What example are you setting? If you're a father, what kind of example are you leaving for your family? And you know what? Everyone's watching you. It's not in a bad way, but everyone is watching you to see if your words match with your actions. And we all have to be really good at that. We make mistakes, but we all have to make sure that our words match our actions. And so whether you are a father or not, you can be a great example to another person, another generation, by being that example, by following his words. So the challenge for you today is, what legacy are you going to leave? Is it going to be a legacy of biblical proportion, or is it going to be an example of the complaining? I don't know if I really want to do that. I don't think that's going to work. I don't like that. What's it going to be? Let's get the next generation, whatever your age is, let's be that example. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, friends, cousins, whatever it is. Let's do that, and let's look to his word for our guidance, because we have it. You're called. You're all called. We talked last week about general callings and specific callings. General calling is, you're called. End of story. To point to Jesus. Specific, that's something you work out with God a little bit more intense about. But we're all called. And make sure you know that today when you leave these doors, that you are called. Let's pray.